It's August 6th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking BTC, Bitcoin maximalism, the latest headlines, and more. This episode is sponsored by Kava, Nexo.io, and Celo. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin is looking for a breakout above $40,000 after several failed attempts over the past 3 months. The short squeeze rally lost some of its momentum this week, although downside appears limited in the short term to between $34,000 and $36,000. Any move substantially above 40K would have to contend with the 200-day moving average near 45,000. A successful breakout would have traders hunting for a price between $50,000 and $55,000 as the next move up. The relative strength index, or the RSI, is declining from overbought levels, which could encourage some profit-taking around resistance levels. Bitcoin's intermediate-term trend is improving after holding support above $30,000 for the past 3 months. A decisive move above the 200-day moving average would clear the downtrend we've been seeing since April, although strong overhead resistance could limit price rallies into the next week. Looking closer at the Ethereum blockchain, the level of activity in the Ether options market is picking up as traders speculate on the impact of Ethereum's London hard fork, which went live yesterday. The bulk of the activity is concentrated in longer-term bets that the price will rise. At least so far, data shows investors are buying the narrative that the London hard fork implemented on Thursday will curb supply growth over time, yielding a price rally. And as of this morning, since the change went live, around 10,000 Ether has been mined and 4,400 ETH has been burned, leading to a net supply reduction of 40% based off of this very early data. Quote, "The Ethereum network has gone through a number of upgrades in the past, but this is arguably set to be one of the most significant in the network's history," said CoinDesk's Lila Ledesma. Bitcoin is currently trading at $40,953 per token. That's up nearly 8% over the past 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $2,782 per token, up more than 6% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. Turning to traditional markets, U.S. stock futures wavered Friday ahead of quarterly earnings and a jobs report that'll give insight into the pace of business activity and the economic rebound. Economists polled by Reuters predicted the official employment measure will drop to 5.7%, which would be a drop of 0.2% relative to June. The Wall Street Journal reports futures tied to the S&P 500 were roughly flat, putting the broad stocks gauge on course for a muted weekly advance. Meanwhile, contracts on the Dow Jones Industrial Average ticked up less than 0.1%, as futures on the technology-focused NASDAQ 100 fell about 0.1 percentage point. And speaking of technology-focused, short sellers have ramped up bets against Cathie Wood's flagship ARK Innovation Fund as belief in its strategy shows signs of faltering. A record 12% of the ARK ETF shares are being shorted by investors betting on a decline, a bet worth more than $2.7 billion as of August 3rd, according to S3 Partners, a specialist data provider. A year ago, that tally stood at just $40 million. The Financial Times and Wall Street Journal report. Meanwhile, in Europe, the regional Stoxx 600 index traded in a tight range, leaving it on track for its best week in 5 months after it managed to edge to a new record every day since Monday. The UK's FTSE 100 fell just 0.1 percentage point after the Bank of England on Thursday left its policies unchanged, but shifted to a slightly more hawkish tone. Moving east, markets in Asia were muted after a nervy week as investors parsed statements from China's ruling party to try and figure out which sectors might be targeted next as Beijing seeks to assert greater control over key parts of the economy. Tech, tutoring, and gaming stocks have all been hit in recent weeks. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index drifted on Friday, while China's CSI 300 index fell just over 0.5 percentage point. That's also all from the Financial Times. And in related news, here are a few quick headlines we're tracking today. You can find the links to the full stories in the show notes for this episode. Then after the break, we'll take a look at what self-described Bitcoin maximalists say about their beliefs. But first, here's what's hot. In big picture news, in an attempt to undermine Taiwan's president with their political constituency, China's ban on Taiwan pineapples backfired as new buyers stepped in. First half numbers collected by Taiwan's Council of Agriculture shows growers of the fruit on the island have fared better since China blocked imports starting March 1st, as sympathetic Japanese shoppers stepped in to provide support. Shipments to Japan surged more than eightfold to 16,556 tons in the 4 months through June compared to a year ago. A domestic campaign to drum up demand also helped. Bloomberg has more on that story. Perhaps in a similar story to the Wall Street Journal, nearly three dozen of the nation's most influential business groups, representing retailers, chipmakers, farmers, and others, are calling on the Biden administration to restart negotiations with China and cut tariffs on imports, saying they're a drag on the U.S. economy. And while many in the Northern Hemisphere are enjoying the summer, winter is coming and temperature extremes are fueling a global gas rally. Global gas prices are expected to break records this winter as a hot northern hemisphere summer leaves inventories low in key markets, just as green energy drives ramp up in new regions. Benchmark natural gas prices in Northwest Europe from the Dutch have surged 80% in the past 3 months to all-time highs, while the current price of liquefied natural gas, also known as LNG in Asia, is at an 8-year seasonal high, according to Reuters data. Turning to international news, Alibaba warns of higher taxes as China's crackdown widens. The giant supplier has warned investors that years-long government tax breaks for the internet industry will start to dwindle, adding billions of dollars in cost for China's largest corporations, as Beijing extends its campaign to rein in the tech sector. Bloomberg has that story as well. Turning to industry news and following up on the new crypto requirements in Washington's proposed infrastructure bill, Senators Mark Warner, a Democrat from Virginia, and Rob Portman, a Republican from Ohio, submitted a competing amendment on Thursday to an earlier amendment to the Senate's infrastructure bill's cryptocurrency provision. The amendment, a copy of which was obtained by CoinDesk, is limited in scope, excluding only proof-of-work mining or the selling of hardware or software that permits individuals to control private keys that provide access to digital assets. The Biden administration has said it supports the more limited amendment, although many crypto advocates are troubled by what it leaves out, notably protections for proof of stake and certain participants who cannot comply with the law as written. It's competing for inclusion with a more comprehensive amendment offered by Senator Loomis, a Republican from Wyoming. CoinDesk's James Rubin has that report. JP Morgan says central bank digital currencies must not cannibalize commercial financial systems. The too big to fail is concerned about banking customers moving funds from checking accounts to a CBDC account, which could lead to an exodus of as much as 30% of commercial banks' funding base. That's according to JP Morgan strategist Josh Younger, who wrote it in a note cited by Bloomberg on Friday. CoinDesk Jamie Crowley has the full story. New York City to explore blockchain property titles for preventing deed fraud in land sales. CoinDesk Jamie Crowley reports the department will work with Medici Land Governance to develop a proof of concept for applying blockchain technology to the city's land records. The project is designed to increase transparency and reduce the chances of fraud. For the pilot project, they'll be recording property transfers to a blockchain in addition to their current system. The results will later be audited to determine whether it helped or hurt overall accuracy. Speaking personally, this is an important area to explore, and here at Markets Daily, we wish the project all the best. Elsewhere in the crypto world, Chainlink unveils crypto keepers and anti-fraud blockchain bridges. Announced Thursday at the protocol's annual event, SmartCon, Keepers is a kind of service layer to tell smart contracts how and when to behave. It can do things like execute limit orders, liquidate under-collateralized loans, or just remind a blockchain what time it is. The feature is now live on Ethereum and being adopted by Aave, Synthetix, Pooltogether, Barnbridge, Bancor, and Alchemix, among others. That's all according to CoinDesk's Ian Allison. And in the crypto mining world, Bitfarms, the Nasdaq-listed Canadian mining firm, said its Bitcoin generation rate climbed by nearly half last month, producing a total of 391 BTC, its best month to date. The mostly hydropowered miner revealed more details, which you can find in the show notes courtesy of CoinDesk's Eliza Gritzi. And finally, CFTC commissioner says the SEC lacks authority over commodities, including crypto assets. The commissioner's comments follow remarks by SEC Chairman Gary Gensler, who this week reiterated his view that stock and stable value tokens backed by securities qualify as securities. In his own tweet, former CFTC Chairman Christopher Giancarlo said the CFTC was the only agency with the experience to regulate cryptocurrency markets and pressed the CFTC to nominate a new chair to generate, quote, sensible cryptocurrency regulation. CoinDesk James Rubin has that story. And in lighter news, here's our intern, Adrian Blust.
The decentralized Ethereum-based music streaming platform Audius hit a major milestone on Thursday, as 5 million people a month now use the platform to stream music, making it one of the largest consumer applications on any blockchain. Although that's cool, over 100,000 artists use the platform, including major players in the music industry such as Skrillex, deadmau5, and Weezer. In part, they're using Audius to get works in progress and unreleased music out to their fans. CoinDesk's Cheyenne Ligon has more details in the show notes.
Thanks for that, Adrian. Stay tuned for after the break. We'll be back with a look at a native viewpoint in the world of Bitcoin. Back in a minute.
Kava gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications on DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure earning platform. Kava is an institutional-grade cross-chain engine built to scale on the largest decentralized proof-of-stake network. With loan APYs as low as 0% and reward APYs as high as 200%, Kava is the safest place for you to grow your digital portfolio. Mint stablecoins. Lend, borrow, earn, and swap safely across the world's biggest crypto assets with Kava. To learn more, visit kava.io/marketsdaily. Looking to make the most of your crypto assets? Nexo.io's got you covered. Grow your wealth securely with Nexo's high-yield interest accounts. Buy crypto on your terms, directly within Nexo's platform, and start earning daily compounding interest right away. Get the cash you need without selling your crypto from just 6.9% APR. Instantly swap between 100 crypto and traditional currency pairs. And don't worry, Nexo is insured against losses up to $375 million. Get the most of your crypto at nexo.io. That's nexo.io. Did you know that there are 4,000 crypto assets in the market today? There's only one network that makes your crypto mobile. Celo's mobile-first platform makes financial dApps and crypto payments accessible to anyone with a mobile phone. Celo's eco-friendly proof-of-stake consensus mechanism and phone verification protocol makes it easy for you to spend, send, stake, and earn Celo assets and stablecoins all from your mobile phone. Visit Celo.org and download Celo-compatible dApps today. That's CELO.org.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece by CoinDesk's Daniel Kuhn. I don't understand Bitcoin maximalism. I understand Bitcoin, the grace of its design, its founding myth and principles, the community's dogged pursuit of a sound monetary system. I like Bitcoin and own a bit of the currency. But I don't understand the insistence that it's the only cryptocurrency project, past, present, or future, worth supporting. Bitcoin maximalism is a phrase often attributed to Ethereum co-creator Vitalik Buterin, who, as a Bitcoiner in 2014, described the emerging belief that the only desirable outcome of this quiet revolution is a Bitcoin monopoly. All other coins are, at best, a distraction, and at worst, a wrench in the chain. And then, as now, the phrase is a pejorative. It's meant to evoke a certain closed-mindedness or lack of imagination in the Bitcoin community. Sometimes it suggests that maxis are only out to maximize their profit. But it's been embraced by much of the Bitcoin community, warned by those who are skeptical of anything crypto that's not BTC. At the recent Miami BTC conference, organizers hosted a, quote, toxic maximalism, a feature, not a bug, panel. Recently, I asked a number of self-described Bitcoin maximalists to give their side in this ongoing war with those who seek to minimize Bitcoin's importance. In general, the best arguments break down into a few categories, including network effects, networks tend towards one, social impacts, superfluous, silly, or scammy altcoins denigrate Bitcoin's reputation, and opinions about the historical circumstance of Bitcoin's creation, adoption, and purpose. Quote, network protocols tend towards one, and Bitcoin won the race long ago, Corey Clipston, CEO of Swan Bitcoin, said in an email. Clipston is a Bitcoiner's Bitcoiner, who's preparing and advocating for a world where the cryptocurrency is adopted as the global base monetary standard. His service allows customers to buy and hold, but not sell, Bitcoin. The history of technological adoption is often one of picking and choosing between standards, the theory goes. Consumers chose VHS over Betamax, the World Wide Web over Xanadu, Facebook over MySpace. The same will be true between Bitcoin and the US dollar. I know what you're thinking. Didn't MySpace outcompete other social networks only to become irrelevant? Isn't Facebook also losing people's attention? Does anyone besides the artist Sarah Zucker use VHS? Quote, the appropriate comparison for a global digital monetary protocol is another protocol we all use, the internet, not a company or an application, Clipston said. This was a point echoed by Till Mussoff, a Bitcoin evangelist active on YouTube who compared the cryptocurrency to the foundational TCP/IP protocol needed to communicate over the internet. Bitcoin was the first system to solve the double spend problem, which, in effect, was a solution to how to transmit value digitally. Quote, you only need one protocol for value communication, they said. Every other implementation takes away resources from the main one, end quote. Apart from competing for resources like developers or capital, Bitcoin maximalists also believe other cryptocurrencies steal mindshare from the original coin or provide an excuse for governments to try to shut the whole crypto industry down. Crypto, like the internet, is a place for scams and ridiculous projects. Many consumers lost money trading dog tokens, and it's difficult to grasp why JPEGs could sell for millions of dollars. The word token conjures up images of carnivals. For hardcore Bitcoiners, crypto is damaging to Bitcoin's brand. Quote, Bitcoiners are deeply troubled by fraud and unreliability. We're creating and joining a system of unstoppable, unbreakable, honest money, Clipston said. It sounds self-serious, but he has a point about dishonest actors and unreliable code. Trust is engendered in Bitcoin by its near immaculate conception and history of development. Bitcoiners are wont to note that Satoshi Nakamoto, the pseudonymous founder, stepped away from the project without profiting from their work. Bitcoin was released into the world without anyone pre-mining or series of founders hanging around with money at stake. Quote, by contrast, we know the names of all the founders of all major altcoin projects, who hold tremendous power over the participants in their projects, Clipston said. Even well-intentioned projects run into this problem. All of these points can be argued. The idea that BTC is the TCP/IP for sending value is confronted by the general acceptance that Bitcoin is more of a store of value than a currency. Bitcoin is just as often a means to speculate and gamble than something like Doge. And is it fair to say that Buterin today has more influence on Ethereum than, say, Greg Maxwell, who suggested the Taproot upgrade on Bitcoin? The final point Clipston made supersedes all of this. Quote, everything Bitcoin does should not be reinvented, and the things altcoins claim to do could be attained by using a database. The essence of the Bitcoin versus crypto debate amounts to a wholesale refutation of the entire crypto complex, he said. That means attempts to create an intermediary-free financial system like decentralized finance is redundant. The general-purpose technologies like non-fungible tokens, which make digital goods besides money scarce, pointless. And a competing field of secure, freely tradable digital currencies, moot. It's a hard pill to swallow. For the most part, crypto and Bitcoin share the same aims and confront similar issues. As one of the developers of LeBitcoin, the first implementation of Bitcoin, said, quote, speculation on BTC has led maximalists to lose sight of the reason for Bitcoin. I don't generally spend much energy on the question of Bitcoin maximalism because it is moot. Other coins are here. There's no reason to conclude they're going away, and they are limitless substitutes for each other, end quote. Sometimes Bitcoin maximalism is meant metaphorically rather than literally. It's a stand-in phrase for open protocol money rather than literally about the Bitcoin network or asset. It could just as easily be called crypto. To the extent that Bitcoin is a big, open, public infrastructure that seeks to maximize access for all, I support it. And that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com. We'll be back tomorrow with your weekend story, and just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.